Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spirit Alive Network, every man standing in his place. Tonight we're going to be talking about claiming dominion for the kingdom of God. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your presence in our life, God. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that you place within us, God. Father, I thank you for all of the blessings that you've given us today and this entire week, God. Father, I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that you sent to pay for all of our sin and who you allowed to be beat and broken for our physical wholeness. God, I thank you for you having raised him from the dead so that we could receive the fullness of the unlimited power of your Holy Spirit within us. Father, I thank you for you teaching us to operate the fullness of that power, teaching us to call upon your presence, and teaching us to walk in our rightful place as we lean, trust, and rely on you. I thank you for this right now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as you know, every man standing in his place is an open discussion between men of God who care about advancing the concerns and interests of the kingdom of God. So what we're going to be discussing tonight is every man walking in his place as it pertains to that. So who do we have on the line tonight? Anyone? If we don't have anyone on the line tonight, then I'm going to keep talking until I hear someone. And I want to encourage you to feel free to enter in and join in this discussion, because what we're talking about is walking in your authority as a man of God. And many people feel like they are limited in how they can be used by God. And what we found is that when Jesus Christ was here on earth, that he worked with fishermen, he worked with tax collectors, he even worked with people who were in other forms of business. He himself, before he entered ministry, was a carpenter by trade. And what we find is that there is no need to put ourselves in a situation where we feel that we are limited in what we can do for God, because God can use whoever he chooses to use. And the power of the Holy Spirit within you is unlimited. It is unlimited power. So anything that God asks you to do, he's giving you the power to do it. And it's important for you to understand that so that you don't ever feel like you are not capable, you are not able, you are not qualified. The issue is whether you are willing. And what will make you willing is that first you believe that you have the power that the Word of God says you have. And then, two, that you are willing enough to humbly submit to the will of God and then do what God is asking you to do, no matter how impossible it may seem. Because, see, nothing is impossible with God. And that's why he placed the power of the Holy Spirit within you, so that you can share in his power. And in doing so, you will produce signs, miracles, and wonders on earth, because signs, miracles, and wonders follow those who believe. So as men of God, when we believe, signs, miracles, and wonders follow us. And that is a powerful thing. That is a powerful truth. And I want you to understand that God has his heart and mind set on seeing you produce signs, miracles, and wonders in your life so that others can be drawn to his Son, Jesus Christ, just as we were drawn. See, at some point in time, We were all enemies of God. And God gave us the desire to come to him and to submit to the authority of his son, Jesus Christ, as our master. And when we made his son, Jesus Christ, our master and Lord, we became children of God. That is a powerful place of privilege and power and praise and purpose. And we rejoice in that openly. But there are things that are set up in order to introduce doubt, worry, and fear into our life and to cause us to feel unworthy. And as men, a lot of times we are measuring ourselves by a false standard. Usually it's the standard that has been established by the world, which means that in order to become accepted in the world, we have to please people. We have to serve money. We have to lean to our own understanding, and we have to operate out of our own limited strengths, talents, and abilities to the best of our ability. And that looks godly, but it is not. See, what that is false Christianity. That is operating in a form of godliness, but denying the power of the Holy Spirit. And what God is asking us to do is to serve him and not money, to please him and not people, to trust him and not ourselves and our own understanding, and to operate and embrace the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit instead of relying on our own limited strengths, talents, and abilities, because as great as our strengths, talents, and abilities are, they are limited. And the power of the Holy Spirit is unlimited. So in order to obey God, you have to walk into the fullness of the power that he's placed within you without doubt, without worry, without fear, without hesitation, and without considering what other people think about you. See, God has placed pettiness all around us. And as men, we have to get past all that. We have to get past those who would belittle and discredit and dismiss us for whatever reason, and keep moving, because we don't please people. We please God. We stand approved before God, and God sees all that we do. God understands even our thoughts and intents, and he is judging us on those. So if he is pleased with our thoughts and intents and what we do, then that's all that matters. And then to understand that no matter how impossible the goal or the situation or the assignment God has given to you seems to be, he has given you the power to fulfill that assignment and that purpose so that he can get glory from you. But you have to trust him. You have to obey him. You have to do what God said exactly the way God said to do it, so that God can get glory and so that we don't accidentally end up stealing God's glory. I'll give you an example of that. An example of stealing God's glory was when Moses was to the rock so that water could come forth from the rock. Now, as men, we understand the pressure that comes from being the leader. If you've ever led a household, if you've ever led an athletic team, if you've ever led a group at work, if you've ever led anybody, when things go wrong, you know who they blame? They blame the leader. And all of the anger of the people being led is directed at the leader when things go wrong. And your response is critical. Your response is key, because your response should be focused on solving the problem and protecting the people that you're leading. But many times what we see is, especially in politics, what we see are the leaders, especially men, protecting themselves, defending their own position, making their case in defense of why things are the way they are, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, in order to preserve their own position or their own life in some cases. And Moses was so frustrated with the people, because they've been delivered by God before. This wasn't the first time they were thirsty or hungry or whatever, and every other time they were thirsty or hungry, God provided. And every time things got tight, every time things got uncomfortable in the wilderness, they accused Moses of trying to kill them, and then they threatened to kill Moses. And as a leader, you have to, and as a man, you have to really control yourself so that God can fight your battle. So God tells us that we're to comfort others when we're in tight situations, so that as we comfort others, the Holy Spirit comforts us. So we're not leaning to our own understanding. We're not trusting ourselves. We are operating out of the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit, and we're trusting God to protect us. And so that allows us to obey God and do what God says the way God says do it. So what Moses did out of his frustration with the people was not what God asked him to do. God asked him to speak to the rock and water would come forth and God would get glory and the people would get water to drink. And what Moses did instead was he got mad and he took his staff and he struck the rock twice and water came forth and the people got what they needed. Water came forth from the rock, but it looked like Moses produced the miracle. And because, and what happened was Moses disobeyed God and he disqualified himself from being able to enter into the promised land. So can you imagine someone who did everything that Moses did, led the children of Israel out of Egypt for 40 years, and then he was not able to enter into the promised land himself because he disobeyed God. See, and we as men have to really walk into that fruit of the Spirit related to self-control. Self-control allows us to not give in to fear, not give in to anger, not give in to anxiety, and to be at peace, which is another fruit of the Spirit, and obey God. Because when we panic, that's when we're most likely to do the wrong thing and bring consequences on ourselves that God would not have us experience. See, God wants us to be blessed and walk into his blessing. So what I want to share tonight from the Word is in Philippians. It's in the book of Philippians. And I just want to look at this because when we look at what God has given to us and how God has provided us the ability to be controlled, to be men of God who really represent God and really trust God and really obey God, then we get to the point where we are walking in the fullness of our relationship with God intentionally. So look at what it says here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Be united, joyful in prayer. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, see what is being put forth here. Paul is telling us that we need to focus on the work that's being done. Paul understands how important it is to work together, and he encourages two women who've been quarreling to make peace, Euodia and Syntyche, members of the Philippian church, had by their disharmony created division among the saints. And Paul uses them as examples to launch into an entire chapter on peace. And see, in the body of Christ, we have a lot of examples of strife. And the Bible says that where there is strife, there's every evil and wicked work. And we certainly don't want to be inviting every evil and wicked work into the church. But this is what Paul does. He uses them as examples, and he says, this is what we're going to do. We're going to talk about peace. He doesn't ask these two women to act uniformly or to put aside their differences and just conform. Instead, he asks them to be of the same mind. The word he uses is harmony. And singing in harmony doesn't necessarily mean you're singing the exact same way. Singing in harmony means that I'm singing how I'm singing complements how you're singing the song, and together it's harmonious. So I might be singing in tenor, you might be singing in bass, somebody else might be singing in baritone, and somebody else might be singing in alto. But together, when we're singing together in harmony, even though we all sound different, we're singing one song, and it's harmonious, and God would receive that. As Christians, that's what we need to learn how to do, because we're all at different levels. We all have different understandings depending on how long we've been studying the word, who taught us the word, what version of the Bible we happen to be studying, how often we pray, how often we fast, how often we fellowship with like-minded believers. But in order to create harmony, we have to learn how to respect the contribution of others, how to understand that if all of us don't sound the same. Some of us are tenors, some of us are bass, some of us are alto, some of us are baritone. We need to appreciate those other sounds, because if we all sounded exactly alike, where would the joy be in that, right? But see, it's our love, our love for God and our obedience to God that allows us to sing in harmony, not in unison, but in harmony. And so we can play different positions on a team, but it's important that we work together so that the team wins, right? And there is a verse that God actually has in the Bible where he talks about how if we bite one another up as Christians, we'll devour the body of Christ, will devour one another. And you see that very often these days. And there was a time, because I was brought up in religion just like a lot of other people, and everybody in certain churches, not everybody, but many people in certain churches believe they have a monopoly on the truth. And any deviation from what they believe is a spiritual death sentence. And what I found is that God, through the Holy Spirit, is leading everybody to a complete and perfect understanding of the word. And at some point, we all have to submit to the word of God. And God hasn't left this up to us. He has left this up to the power of the Holy Spirit within us to lead, guide, and direct us. See, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. The Holy Spirit is our guide. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. And when we allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit, then we're pleasing God, we're serving God, we're trusting God, we're obeying God. And God is pleased. We're going to be walking in love because we're not going to be doing our own thing. We are going to be playing our part as members of the body of Christ. And we're going to be working in harmony, meaning that our efforts are going to complement and support the efforts of the others in the body of Christ and not conflict with them, right? So I remember a time in the Gospels where Jesus Christ was with the disciples, and the disciples came to Jesus Christ, and they thought they were telling on some people who were witnessing to others. They were actually baptizing others. And Jesus Christ corrected his disciples. He said, hey, if they're for us, they're not against us. Leave them alone. Let them baptize. Let them baptize. And see, that is so telling. It is so informative that Jesus Christ was not insecure in his ministry so as to think that he was the only one who was to be, or him and the 12 were the only ones who were to be sharing the good news of the gospel. And Jesus Christ said it best. He said, if they're not for us, if they're not against us, they're for us. Leave them alone. And so many of us have to get to the point where we just grow up spiritually, where we mature. And as men, in order to walk in your dominion, one, you have to really be willing to submit to the authority of God and humble yourself and realize that it's not about you. It's about the people that God has assigned to you, people you're responsible to lead. And how you're going to lead them is by your example. See, it's not what you say, it's what you do as a man of God that is going to make the difference. And so many people are so addicted to talking and being heard that they're not thinking about how their actions are affecting others. See, as men of God, we have to remember that people do not care how much you know until they know how much you care. And until you get to the point where your heart for people is where God's heart for people is, you can't really do this. See, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son to die so that we can all come to salvation, so that none of us would perish. That's his will. That's his desire. That's not going to happen because men are going to do what they want to do. And see, that doesn't stop God from blessing, because God, it says in Matthew chapter 5, I believe, that God's blessings rain on the just and the unjust. And God is no respecter of persons. And I think that is probably what is so offensive and hurtful to God, is that as much as God loves people, there are those who openly reject his presence. God is present everywhere, and people dismiss and neglect and ignore him. People receive God's blessings every day, the light, the sunshine, the air, the health, the strength, the youth, the beauty, the power, everything. And dismiss the Creator of all these things. And then when they come to a knowledge of God and God says, hey, you really want to come into a relationship with me, bow down to my son Jesus Christ and make him your Lord. And then they really want to get antagonistic with God and say, well, I can see bowing down to you. You're all powerful and all knowing and present everywhere. Why can't I just come straight to you? Why do I got to bow down to your son? It's like, because I gave him all power in heaven and earth and under the earth after I raised him from the dead so that he could send you the Holy Spirit so that you could reconcile the world back to me. See, God is not doing this stuff for nothing. It's all by design, because at the end, after Jesus Christ has placed all of his enemies under his feet, he's going to hand back to God a complete and perfect work. And then God is going to be over everything, but only after death is destroyed, only after the devil is destroyed, only after the beast is destroyed, only after the Antichrist is destroyed, only after all who follow him are destroyed, are we going to be in that place where the complete and perfect work is going to be handed from Jesus Christ to God, and all things will be under him, all in all. He'll be in all things, and life will be transformed, because there will be no sickness, there will be no disease, there will be no more death. So what does that mean for us now? Well, as we claim dominion now, what it means is that we have to get to this place where we allow our gentleness to be made known unto all men. See, as men, one of the things that causes us to not be gentle is the fear of having our gentleness misinterpreted as weakness. Because, see, when you are gentle, people feel like they can take advantage of you. And God is calling us to let our gentleness be known to all men. And then he tells us, look, be prepared to go the extra mile with people who are so unreasonable that they'll require you to go 1 mile. Show them that you have the ability through the power I place within you with the Holy Spirit to go 2 miles without complaining and without murmuring, right? He says, when people smack you, show them that you have the power of the Holy Spirit within you and the ability to give them the other cheek and show them that they don't have control over your actions and responses. He tells us, when your brethren abuse you and misuse you, forgive them repeatedly and show them you have the power of the Holy Spirit that allows you to do that, that allows you to demonstrate the power that you have in you. So look at what it says here in verse 6 of Philippians 4. It says, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, it's the peace of God that guards our hearts and minds. And it's the peace of God that surpasses understanding. So just imagine, God tells us in the Old Testament, he says, with all thy getting, get understanding, right? But this says, the peace of God surpasses all understanding. And see, we know that we get wisdom from applying knowledge. We get understanding from applying wisdom. See, the more you take knowledge and you use knowledge, knowledge that's used is called wisdom. Wisdom, when you use it repeatedly, helps you understand why you have to do certain things a certain way. And after you continually use knowledge and operate out of knowledge, then you'll be walking in wisdom. And when you repeatedly use wisdom, then you will come into an understanding of why things must be the way they are. And so that's why we have to give one another room to grow. We have to give one another the opportunity to use the knowledge that we have of God's word, develop wisdom in that by using the knowledge. And then as we repeatedly use the knowledge and operate in wisdom, then we will gain understanding. And that understanding will allow us then to reject what does not align itself with God's word, and embrace what does align itself with God's word. Because in the end, all that matters is, what does God's word say? It doesn't matter what my pastor said, what my mother said, what my father said, what my great friend and leader said. None of that. What matters is, what does the Word of God say? And that's why we have to study the Word of God to show ourselves approved as workmen of the Word of God, so that we can rightly divide the Word of God and stand as workmen of the Word. So it says that when we are not anxious, when we are in prayer about everything, and we are speaking to God with grateful language and thanksgiving, we let our requests be made known to God. The peace of God that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and minds through Christ. See, it's fear that keeps us from being gentle, especially men. Now, you've heard that term gentleman, right? In the world, most gentlemen are not gentlemen at all. They're just actors. And they're running game. And it is really speaking of a certain status of man, and usually talking about your wealth and privilege, etc. But as a true gentleman, as a man of God, that is what we're being called to do, is let our gentleness in the Holy Spirit be made known to all men, and show people the power that we have within us, and that this is not a joke. You think you're coming, you're just going to roll over a man of God. You have another thing coming, because the power of the Holy Spirit is going to transcend your ability to knock me off balance emotionally. It's going to transcend your ability to impact my ego. It's going to transcend your ability to stop God's purposes in my life. And it's going to place you in a place of ineptitude and ineffectiveness. Because, see, you can't stop the power of God. If you're operating in opposition to what God is doing through me, you will lose. You will fail openly, because God is going to cause you to fail. And that's why the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guards our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, because the Bible says, we'll do all things through Christ. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Look at what it says here in verse 8 about what we should be meditating upon. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. See, God is called a God of peace here, and he will be with you as you learn to meditate on what's true, noble, and just, and pure, and lovely, and of good report. And see, if anything is praiseworthy, think on these things. Meditate on these things. And see, every day, the world has a 24/7 campaign of bad news to drop on us and cause us to think on things other than what the God of peace would have us to think on. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, look, what you've seen me do, just copy that. And see, what God is asking us to do as men is to place an example, a standard in front of other men so that they can see, oh, this is how it's done. Oh, I don't have to act tougher than I am in order to get things done, because the power of the Holy Spirit is tougher than anybody that's going to come against me. And God has prepared me to deal with the most unreasonable people by showing them that they can't ask me to do anything that God hasn't already prepared me to do. And see, that's where renewing our mind to the word of God gives us an advantage. See, we don't have to be circumstance conditioned. We can be transformed as we renew our mind to the word of God. And that's where that unlimited power of the Holy Spirit kicks into play, where we begin praying, loving our enemies, blessing those who curse us with their mouth, doing good to those who spitefully use us, and praying for those who persecute us. And when we do the things that God is asking us to do, the way that God asks us to do that, he openly rewards us. See, when we pray secretly, God rewards us openly. When we fast secretly, God rewards us openly. When we do our good deeds secretly, God rewards us openly. And when we forgive openly, God forgives us. That's powerful, right? So look at what it says here about Philippian generosity. It says in verse 10, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again." This is what Paul says. "Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Now, many of us have heard this one verse, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." But what about what comes right before that, right? Where the Apostle Paul says he has learned that whatever state he's in, he's learned to be content. He knows that whether he has much, he's content. Whether he has little, he's content. And see, he is in that place that we have to learn how to be, because he's learned both to be full and to be hungry. He's learned to abound and to suffer need. And in doing that, he learned that he can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. And that's the truth for us, is when we begin to test God's word and walk out on God's word and see that God's word is true, what we discover is that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And it's not about whether we're in lack for the moment or whether we're in abundance at the moment. What's important is that God is with us at the moment and we are doing what God has asked us to do. He says, "Nevertheless, you've done well that you shared my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but only you." Only the Philippians shared with Paul in giving and receiving. "For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek a gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account." See, he's concerned about them, and that's one of the things as leaders, as men, that we have to get, because we're the head of our household. And we have to understand it's not about us. It's about the needs of the people that we're leading being met. And the Apostle Paul here is saying, "I want you to learn that giving is a blessing to you. Not to me, but to you." And so many people lead in order to be served instead of leading to serve. And when I talk about taking dominion, there is a brother in Christ that I know who is running for the mayor of the city of Indianapolis, Indiana. He's a great man of God. And what's fascinating is that his campaign is focused on the quality of life of the citizens of Indianapolis improving and increasing. He wants to make Indianapolis a clean city. He wants to make Indianapolis a safe city. He wants to make Indianapolis a blessed city. And so in focusing on the people of Indianapolis and their city being clean, their city being safe, and their city being blessed, he is claiming dominion for the kingdom of God in the midst of people who say, "That's impossible. How is a minister going to be the mayor?" And I'll tell you, when God says things are happening, things are happening. And you just got to watch God be God and do what he does, because God's not limited in what he can do and what he will do. And so now, in order to allow ourselves to participate in taking dominion for the kingdom, we just have to learn to say yes to God. Because I've been guilty in the past of saying, I'm a businessman, what am I doing in religion? Or saying, what am I doing in politics? And see, the world has divided things up where it says there are three powers. There's religion, there's politics, and there is business. And God says, I can use you wherever I want to use you. And the power of the Holy Spirit qualifies and enables you to do whatever I've given you to do. So you're not limited. So take the limits off and go where I sent you to go. And all we have to do is practice saying yes to God. And that can be very difficult. It can be challenging because we have to learn to obey God because we were born into disobedience. We were born into sin. We know how to lie and make excuses automatically. That comes automatically. You don't have to learn that. You're born into that, born sinners, right? But now, in order to be men of God, we have to learn to say yes to God. Yes, sir, to our Lord Jesus Christ as our master, the Son of God. Look at what it says. He says, for even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek a gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things you sent for me, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. See, God meets your need as you meet the needs of others. And he says, now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And this is a powerful thing because Paul maintained a positive attitude even on the worst days. And we learn from Paul that attitude has little to do with circumstances. Attitudes can change just like circumstances. Attitudes can be improved if we learn the secret. Attitudes have a source for their strength. And we have to learn how to govern our actions and how to learn to live in harmony and display self-control, how to guard our attitudes and replace worry with prayer, and to think on positive things that edify others and ourselves, and to give of our assets. Nothing purifies more than sharing resources and trusting God, sharing resources and trusting God to meet your needs. So we have to get to the place where we're just growing up. And when you want to grow up, you know that's a desire that comes from God because I'll tell you, it's easy to give in to the impulses of the flesh and whatever feels good, and whatever sounds good, and whatever makes you want to jump and shout and do whatever you do. But when it comes down to pleasing God and just saying yes to God and knowing how to say yes and get moving, get to work, God teaches us to study to be quiet. And what he's really telling us to do is shut up and get to work. And that's a hard thing to receive sometimes, right? But there's a blessing behind that. There's a blessing when we get to this place where we learn to obey God. So look what it says here in Philippians 4 in verse 21. It says, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints, especially those who are of Caesarea, or those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And so we are to greet everyone. See, and just because we might call ourselves being of different denominations, and different assemblies and different backgrounds and different faiths, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And some of us pray with musicians and some of us pray without musicians. And some of us believe in speaking in tongues and some of us don't believe in speaking in tongues yet. Some of us believe in performing miracles and some of us don't believe in performing miracles yet. Some of us believe in being water baptized, and some of us don't believe in being water baptized yet. And so we have to give one another room to grow. So I just want to encourage you to have a wonderful evening. I want to encourage you to speak to the Lord personally and pray and ask him what he's given you to do. And then do that and expect God to show up and show you how to use more of the power of the Holy Spirit that's within you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for you causing every man to stand in his place this evening. I thank you for you being the one who gets all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise out of all that we do for you. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from the Spirit Live Network, with every man standing in his place, and your host, Lester Carver, be ye transformed.